Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Passionate God, all creation delights in your radiant presence of your word. May the authority of your spirit bring understanding into our confused minds and truth into our troubled hearts, that we may praise and serve Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading today is from 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. You can find that on 1855 in your pew Bible. I want to read along. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Listen now for the word of the Lord. So then, dear friends, since you were looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. Now, his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do with the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, friends, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now, both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Be pleasing to you, and seek to honor your glory and your way of life for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. This phrase found popularity in the 1970s in Christian circles, leading to bumper stickers, songs, catchphrases. I was going to play the most 70s video of this group. Bring it over. Oh, the mic's back there. Yes, yeah, back there. Yeah. Just said, forget it. I was watching this clip from the 7 Day. I couldn't even play. It wasn't high enough quality for you all, but it was the most 70s thing you have ever seen in your life. And they're singing this song, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You know, kind of stuff like, you're like, oh my gosh. But, and I know it, and it was used by some well-known televangelists. That's actually where it found its sure footing in our lexicon today. And though it wasn't always intended this way, it sounds like one of those things people say to end an argument. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Much like the classic parent line to the question why the kid can't do something, parents go, what? Because I said so. Or they do the classic, because I'm the parent, that's why. Thanks, Tom. And I have to admit, I probably have used that a couple of times. And what the purpose, right, is to shut down any more conversation, right? Any more conversation about the topic, it's over. We're not talking about this anymore. It's done. And it's not always useful for parents, as I have noticed with Henry. And it isn't always useful for people who are generally struggling with understanding the Bible. and their experiences. Questioning and doubt are avenues for growth in our faith, and to throw a pithy phrase like, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, doesn't really allow room for conversations. Despite my problem, however, with the tone of this phrase, it's really hard to argue against it, right? As a Christian my whole life, I have trusted in the truth found in the Bible. I have sought to read. I have sought to study. I have sought to apply it. Its lessons to my life to continue to do so. In my ordination vows, when I was ordained as a pastor, I was asked to accept that the Bible was a trustworthy, accurate, and authoritative to Jesus Christ. Authoritative meaning trustworthy, accurate, and authentic. The real deal. Scripture should have authority over our lives as God's words to us. So God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Sounds right. If only it were that easy. My buddy used to mess with me when I was in seminary, and he would say, Gray, why does your school need a library? You only study one book. Shouldn't they just have like a little shelf in the student center? That's our library. As a person who has been trained for years poring over the Bible, not only in English, but as I showed the kids, and its original language is Hebrew and Greek. Understanding what the Bible is saying is not always self-evident, and its lessons, how it applies to our life, are also not always self-evident. You think you have a grasp on a particular scripture, then a couple years later, that same scripture takes on a whole new meaning, and it means something completely different for you. Men and women who are much smarter than I am have committed their lives to uncovering the meaning behind our most holy books in the Bible. And they're still learning. And they're still discovering things that we never knew through the work of archaeologists, anthropologists, other disciplines who study. Even the earliest Christians knew the Bible was not always the most obvious of books. That's why in Peter's second letter, he acknowledges that Paul's letters are, quote, hard to understand and ripe for ignorant and unstable people. I love that. Ignorant and unstable people. I think we've all known the ignorant and unstable people in our lives. Ignorant and unstable people to distort. So when we open the Bible, we have to take it seriously instead of cherry-picking it. Cherry-picking one or two verses to prove that we were right on some topic. Serious study means approaching the Bible with openness that in your study, your old conceptions may be challenged. It means committing to learning the story around the scripture. Become a CSI investigator of the text that you're studying. That's how intense I want you to take this. That's how seriously I want you all to take this. Who was it written to? What do the verses around it say? Who wrote it? Under what circumstances? What does other books of the Bible have to say about this passage? How have other Christians understood this passage? Serious study is also not afraid to bring science and other disciplines to help understand the Bible. Now in the back, you may have seen near the bulletins, I printed out this list of 7 guidelines of approaching Scripture. It's pretty thick, I'm going to be honest with you, and I apologize for that. It is what it is. But what I like about it is that it offers you a way of approaching the Bible. And these are things when you're reading you should be considering, you should be looking at. When you study Scripture in this way, it is honestly a humbling experience. because you discover meanings you never dreamed of, and you realize how little you actually know about the Bible. And I think that should be exciting for you all. Because the Bible is not some stale old book without any life breathing in it. God said it, yes, but it took some real work to understand what God is saying, and we don't often want to do that work ourselves, right? I know this feeling. I want someone just to tell me. I watched a movie last week and I was like, I just wish the director would just tell me what he meant by this movie. Can he just come here and just tell me what he meant? What was that about? That's dumb. And I remember thinking that about the Bible. I just want someone to tell me what this means. Just clear it up so I don't have to have any more questions and I don't have to do any more hard work. Put a spoon in my mouth. Right? That's what it is. And I don't want to get up here and tell you. I know I've studied and I'm going to give you my opinion, but I don't need you parroting back to me. I want you to study. I want you to wrestle with it. I want you to read it and say, Gray, I'm reading this. Here's how I understand it. I really want you to get into scripture stuff. So take a look at those guidelines if you get a chance. I'll have more this afternoon and we'll go through some of them. But they're really fascinating. This leads me to the next issue, however, with God said it, I believe it, that settles it. The phrase assumes that there is only one interpretation of all of scripture. And even further, it suggests God wrote every word in the Bible. Now, some of you probably were taught in Sunday school somewhere that God whispered the words of the Bible into the ears of the writers of the Old and New Testament. And they wrote them down just as they heard them. Some will even go as far as to say that God literally took the writer's hands and was writing the scripture out for them. The interesting thing about this is that the writers of the Bible in their books never make such a lofty claim about how they wrote the Bible and the books in the Bible. And the Bible often disagrees with itself between books. So if you look at the book of Ruth, it disagrees with the book of Ezra and Nehemiah about how to treat people who are not Jewish. They actually disagree. Look at the Gospels and how there are differences between the Gospels, some that are very irreconcilable. Or examine Paul's disagreements with Peter and some of the early disciples on how Gentiles are to fit into the early church. People who believe that God literally wrote the Bible spend a bunch of time trying to explain away these differences. But I don't think we need to spend that much time doing it. 1 Timothy uses the word inspired, or as our reading today from the NIV, the word God-breathed, to understand how the Bible came to us. God inspired the writers of a particular time and a particular place to write down what it means to be in relationship with God. Anything that humans write often includes flaws, biases, mistakes, but we have faith that even through the messiness, God is breathing through these words that were written hundreds of years ago by imperfect people to reveal deep truth. I was telling the parents' class today that when you take a look at the Bible, and you take a look at who wrote it, right? The world that it was written in, these words should have almost no meaning for us at all. Those people would come into our lives today, if they were time traveled to today, they would think everything we do is magic. What is up with that apple thing, that apple rock in your pocket? That's a magic device. These words should be dead. They should mean nothing to us. They should be like we study old Greek and Roman texts. They should have no meaning on our life today, and yet they do. And why? Because God breathes through them. Y'all remember that passage of Jeremiah and the Valley of the Dry Bones, Ezekiel and the Valley of the Dry Bones, where Ezekiel shows up and he says, God, this is just a bunch of dry old bones. There's no life here. It's all dead. And God says to Ezekiel, watch this. And he brings all of these soldiers back to life, bone to bone, sinew, muscle, skin, and there's new life. That's what he's doing with the Bible. That's what it means to be God-breathed. God breathes through this book, makes it actually mean something for our lives today. It has purpose, it has meaning, it brings meaning to our lives. That's what it means to be God-breathed. So this is why we call the Bible the living word. Because God is taking what should be dead and stale and not applicable to our lives at all and breathing life into it and through them to speak to us today. So understanding this, it makes me realize why interpretation is so vital. We all have to interpret the Bible. Now, there are Christians that are going to claim to you that they take the Bible very literally and that they're going to seek to follow every verse exactly, but after checking their clothes tag or seeing that they had pork last night, they will reveal the truth that they, like many of us, interpret the Bible. And they decide that some scriptures are more important than others. Which to follow, which to ignore, or to take less seriously. Every generation has to interpret what God is saying through scripture to their circumstances right here in the present. Adam Hamilton talks about how Jesus even interpreted the Jewish law, right? Y'all know this, right? The Pharisees were looking at him and going, hey, why are you out picking food on the Sabbath? What are you doing? Doesn't the Bible say you're not supposed to be doing this? And Jesus goes, did you read the Bible? I'm going to interpret it for you. Jesus is actually interpreting Scripture in the New Testament, telling them, no, that's actually not what that means. That's not what God intended for the Sabbath. Jesus goes even further. There's a whole passage in Deuteronomy about divorce and how divorce is supposed to work. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes, no, that's just stuff Moses told you because y'all were hard-hearted. Nobody should get divorced. Jesus interpreting Scripture. Jesus did it, and we're asked to do so as well. I had a professor, Old Testament professor, his first words of the class were, anytime you open this book, you have a responsibility. And you need to take that responsibility seriously. Those were his first words. I was scared to death. I thought, okay, well, I got an F. I'm done. I'm going to fail Old Testament. Now here's the reality. It may not be as easy as God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Yet we all have to take this seriously, take study of this book seriously. How should it shape your life? How should it shape our lives together? What does this book have to say about the problems we're facing this day? Ones that the Bible never even knew we were ever going to have. At least the authors. What action is the Bible calling me to take? This is not an easy task. But God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are guiding the work we undertake. So I challenge you all to open this book. Get a good study version of the Bible. If you need recommendations, I will give them to you. This is a great one, the HarperCollins Study Bible. I also love the New Interpreter's Study Bible edition. Books that help you get behind what Scripture is trying to tell us. There's so many resources out there that take this seriously, and God is providing those to you. So let us remember that God has given us a gift, and we are to enjoy it and use it and apply it to our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.